James chapter 3. I'm teaching tonight on the science of peace. The science of peace. I'm talking about inner peace tonight. Peace in the heart. Peace and contentment in the soul and the spirit. James chapter 3 and verse number 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, notice now in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, now that's inside. They're talking about, it's not talking about fussing with somebody in the coast and I fuss. It's talking about envy, a condition inside of me or inside the Christian. Envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown, here it is again, in peace of them that make peace. Now here's my text. From whence come wars and fightings among you? That word among there could be translated within you, verse 1 of chapter 4. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you, or within you? Come they not hence, even of your lust? And that word lust is not the word just for sex. It's for any appetite. You're hungry. You're hungry. The word be a hunger. Even your hunger at war in your members. You lust and have not. You kill, desire to have, cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. It's graduation time, and a part of my lesson tonight, in fact, I guess half of my lesson, will deal with those of you that are facing decisions soon and how to make the decision. However, the study is on the science of peace, how to have tranquility, contentment, peace of mind. I hope you'll listen carefully. Father, bless our study tonight. Thank you for the joy of teaching this book. And thank you that it has the answers to our needs in life, and the answer of life, and for life, and to life. Bless our study and help it to be beneficial to our people so we can turn and benefit others. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen carefully. I don't think any of us has total tranquility all the time. But I think that I'm above average. I do not think, now listen carefully, I do not think that tranquility is damaged, destroyed by external warfare. I think it's destroyed by internal warfare. I doubt if there's a man alive who has lived with, well, unless you pastor a church this size, there's no way you can. I doubt if there's a man in the world who's had as much external opposition through his lifetime as I have. And yet, I doubt if there's a man in the world that has as good a record of inner tranquility. Tranquility, peace, is not caused by external peace. It's caused by internal peace. Jesus, James said, as the Holy Spirit inspired him, he said, there are wars within you, wars going on the inside of you. Now, those wars are the things that cause us to have a loss or lack of peace. The word peace, interestingly enough, I would define it like this. I'm not sure that you'll find this in Webster, but Webster's not as smart as I am. But I would find it peace, and I'm not sure, I read this somewhere, it's not mine. I read a lot of definitions of peace, and this is the nearest thing that I've come to what I think is right. Peace is, quote, the tranquility of order. The tranquility of order. Most of our irritability, frustration, and nervousnesses are caused by lack of order within. Tranquility of order. Now, I'm going to talk to you tonight and explain to you how that you can go about frustrations, enemies, heartaches, problems, battles, sorrows, adversities, reverses, and yet have a peace on the inside. Now, this lack of peace, the wars within us, are caused by, as James said, inner wars. Now, back to this thing of peace being the tranquility of order. Titus wrote the Apostle Paul, or sent word to him, and said that he'd like to be transferred, if he could, and be recommended to another church. He is pastoring there on the island of Crete, and the Cretans were they're horrible people. And Paul wrote back to Titus and said to Titus, no, he said, I left you in Crete so you could set in order the things that are wanting. Now, look, your problems are caused by a lack of order. The truth is, most sin is improper order. I won't go into that. I have a sermon I used to preach on that some. But Paul said, set in order. Now, as long as things inwardly are set in order, look at me now, there are no wars going on the inside. Give me your attention. Everybody look right this way. As long as there are no wars going on the inside, then a person has peace. The Apostle Paul wrote the Corinthian church, and he said, the rest will I set in order when I come. He wrote again to the Corinthian church, and he said that all things be done decently and in order. Now, there, all of your frustration is caused by some wars on the inside. I'm going to tell you the combatants in those wars and then tell you how to combat the combatants. But all of our frustrations, all of our irritability, when you get mad, you're angry because something on the inside, there's a war going on the inside. Wars within us, the Apostle James said. Wars within us. When you get nervous, it's caused by wars on the inside. Something says this, something else says this. Two things are fighting each other on the inside. When you get frustrated, again, the same thing. There is a war of some kind, and there's several going on. I'll tell you about them in a minute. But there's a war going on the inside. Now, that's what causes you to get upset, and that's what causes you to get frustrated. That's what causes you to get nervous. Now, don't misunderstand me. I have not arrived. I am not sanctified in this area. But I'll promise you that for the most part, I'm a pretty calm kind of a person. For the most part, I stay happy in the midst of adversity. I enjoy life in spite of adversity, in spite of heartaches, in spite of problems. Now, let me look at these wars on the inside. Now, the first war I want to call your attention to, and by the way, of course, I'm going to speak quickly tonight. You won't have time to take notes, but it may be that some of you facing decisions especially will want to get this tape. First war going on inside that causes your frustrations and causes you to be upset and causes you to be nervous is the war of duties versus duties. Not enough time to do all of them, we think. And you say, so here is a duty that says, it's time for you to take care of me. And another duty says, no, it's time for you to take care of me. And these duties war on the inside. And because they do war on the inside, that makes you nervous. When will I get it all done? I've got so much to do today, I don't see how I can do it all. Now, that's when you get irritable. That's when you get nervous. That's when you get frustrated. It's a duty is fighting another duty, or some duties are fighting other duties. Now, that war goes on in everybody's life, and I'm going to tell you tonight not how to end the war, but how to have it lot less battles in the war. I'll come back to that after a while. All right? The first war on the inside going on is the war of duties versus duties. Say that. Duties versus duties. Say it again. Duties versus duties. One more time. duties versus duties. Now, everybody in this room has that war to some extent. And it goes on, oh, how can I get my studies done and get my work done? How can I spend time with my husband and grade these papers for my schoolroom? How can I take my daughter to the piano lessons and my son to the ball game? And they're going at the same time. Oh, I how can I get all these things done? Now listen, everybody has that to an extent. I'm going to help you with it tonight if you'll listen. Now there's a second war going on the inside. I'm going to give you all the wars and come back and tell you how to fight again, fight the wars and make peace. The second war is the pro versus con. Pro versus con. And I'll give you, I don't want you to memorize the rest of it, but in making a decision. Pro versus con in making a decision. What shall I do? What is God's will in this matter? Should I do this or should I do this? Oh, I'm torn between this and this. I don't know which is the best to do. Now, that's a war going on all the time. In everybody's life, there's a war, first, of duties versus duties. Which shall I do? And how can I get it all done? And then there's a war going on of pro versus con. Here's the decision I've got to make. Now, if I make this one, do this, this is going to happen. And if I do this, this is the, oh, my soul. And the war is going on. Something inside says, go this way. Something inside says, go this way. And that's why we don't have peace. And that's when you get irritable. Now, there's a third war going on all the time. And that war is the past versus the present. The past versus the present. What's the first one? Duties versus duties. Second one is pro versus con. And third, Roe versus Wade. But, duties versus duties. That's when we say, how can I get everything done I'm supposed to do? And then pro versus con, I've got a decision to make. I don't know what's decision to make. I'm frustrated about whether to do this or do that. And that's the second one. The third, the past versus the present. In other words, shall I go back? Or shall I stay here? Did I do the right thing? Am I where I ought to be? Should I have stayed where I was? I was listening to an interview on the radio last night in my room, in a motel room. And it was interviewing a basketball coach. A coach, I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Some of you guys can help me, but his coach, Indiana Pacers basketball team, Larry Brown. Larry Brown has coached practically every team in America. About every 2 years, he goes somewhere and has for years. He changes all the time. And he said on the radio last night, a sportscast, he said, when interviewed, I made a mistake when I left UCLA. I should have stayed in UCLA. The athletic director passed away, and I left, but I should have stayed. If I'd been more patient, I'd have stayed. Then he said, I went to another place, and finally ended up University of Kansas. And he said, I made a mistake. I should have stayed at the University of Kansas. Now, what he was saying is this. He's saying, he's comparing the present to the past. And the present says, you're doing what you ought to do. The past says, no, you should come back here. And there's a warfare going on. Paul said, or James said, wars within you. There's the war of duties versus duties. The war of pro versus con. The war of the past versus the present. Then the fourth war is the war of the present versus the future. The present versus the future. Shall I stay here or shall I go out yonder and hurry up and do what I'm going to do later on? Shall I quit school and go ahead and start me a church? Shall I quit school and get married? Shall I not go to school at all? Shall I stop education and go join the service? I want to make this very plain. No young man who's a Christian ought to join the United States military unless there's a war going on and he has to go fight to save the country. You give up the Holy Spirit's right to lead you where you ought to go. Now you say, my boy has gone to military service. I'm not teaching what you want me to teach. I'm teaching what I believe ought to be taught. I do not think any Christian young man, and by the way, you heard me make this statement, at Mike Haynes' church down in South Carolina last year. I made that very statement, and his church is made up of servicemen. And you say, Brother Hounds, why do you say that? I say anybody can shoot a gun, but everybody can't build a church. Everybody can't build a Sunday school class. Everybody can't teach in a Christian school. Everybody can't win souls and do the job for God. So I'm simply saying, and that's off the subject, but I saw a few eyebrows lifted, and I thought I'd lift them a little higher. And I just love lifted eyebrows. But I never would, under any condition, would ever recommend a young man to go in the service. I don't know of young men that go in the service that come out like they were when they went in. And I know we have sailors here tonight and have sailors this time. Glad they're here. But I still say the same thing. Now, there's the present versus the future. All right? Now, these wars on the inside. Why are we nervous? You all over the house. I'm nervous. My boy's hyper. He eats too many Hershey bars. It's amazing that eating Hershey bars didn't used to cause folks to be hyper. And my mother had a way of counteracting those Hershey bars hyperactivity. And but my mother got hyper. When she got hyper, I got unhyper. Unhappy also. But I'm saying that's what your trouble is. Your reason you're nervous is, okay, let me illustrate. That door opens back there. And everybody looks back there. That door opens back there. Somebody walks in. And they walk down to that post and start looking around. Now, my mind gets off my sermon. For whom are they looking? You've got to get born again, I'm preaching. If you don't get born again, you're going to go to hell. How long are they going to look? Jesus said three times about the new birth. He said to Nicodemus, have they found him yet? That's not what he said to Nicodemus. Now, what's going on? A war is going on inside of here. And no preacher can preach when he's got his mind on two different things. There's a war going on. Part of my mind says, do what you're going to do about that fellow back there. The other part of my, another part says, won't you preach the truth and forget that fellow back there. And the other part of my mind says, I can't forget the fellow back there. And the other part says, you could if you wanted to. And the other part says, you never have been my part. If you was my part, you'd understand how I feel. And there's a warfare going on. Now, nobody can do as well when that warfare is going on as they can when they're single-minded. That's what the Bible means when it talks about a double-minded man. There are two things going on at the same time. And so, on the inside, all of your nervousness, your frustrations, and I guarantee you, well, most of your nervousness and all of your irritability is caused by these inner wars that are going on. First is what? Anybody home? First is what? Duties versus duties. Second is what? Pro versus con. Third is what? Past versus present. Fourth is what? Present versus future. And the fifth, of course, is the very famous one, the flesh versus the spirit. The old nature versus the new nature. Now, to whatever degree you have these wars going on down inside you, to that same degree, you're nervous. And to that same degree, you're unhappy. Because you can't have war going on down here and have tranquility going on out here. You got to get everything in order on the inside. And that's what peace is. I have a peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. That does not come just when you get saved. That comes to do what I'm going to tell you to do after a while. Peace is available to you when you get saved, but you've got to appropriate that peace and keep the wars from going on down inside. Now then, in order to have peace, we've got to set these wars in order. Peace is tranquility of order. Now I want you to look first, the first one. What's the first one? The war going on inside? Duties versus? Okay, now I'm going to give you five things. One thing, if you want to keep this war going on, from going on, of duties versus duties, number one, allocate each duty its own time. Allocate each duty its own time.
I've done this for years.
I've taken my schedule, and I've said, this part of my schedule is for this duty. Now, if something came up this afternoon about Howells Anderson College, unless it was an emergency, I don't take care of that. I take care of that at the allocated time. I've allocated it Saturday morning to take care of Howells Anderson College business. I meet on Saturday morning, every Saturday morning, with Dr. Young, who is executive vice president, about one side of the college, the buildings and dining hall and so forth. I meet with Dr. Evans about the academic side of the college. Dr. Jorgensen and I meet once every two or three weeks and get together and also discuss have lunch together and discuss the academics of the college. Now, I have those times. Saturday morning from about 10:30 until I get through is college time. Now, there's no war about that. You get me? There's nothing goes on down inside here saying, when will I get to that college business? And by the way, every other duty I have knows that I have given that time to the college. And there's no need for them to try to say to me, can I have that time? Now, sometimes people get upset with me because I say, I'm sorry, I cannot see you right now. And the reason I cannot see you right now, I don't tell them this, but the reason I can't, is because I have allocated this time for this particular duty. You get frustrated when things just come up. Oh, I've tried to clean the house today. I've had nothing but interruptions. Well, don't be interrupted. But you say, oh, my soul, Mrs. Peabody called me and she talked my ear off. Be better she'd talk her tongue off. But she did you know that there's a word that you can say that will keep Mrs. Peabody from talking your ear off? It's called goodbye. Goodbye. Say that, ladies. Goodbye. Say it again. Goodbye. Yeah. And now that you know you can say it, say it. You don't realize how much that goodbye really means right now. But anyway, I'm saying that allocate certain times for certain responsibilities. And your other things will get the idea that they can't fight for that time. Because that time, Bill, look, I'm giving you something right now. It'll lower your blood pressure. It'll keep you from being so irritable. It'll help your nervousness to get settled down. If you'll give to each duty its own allocated time. If two duties know that you don't wonder what I'm going to do today. Well, I don't ever do that. I get that twice. But I wonder what I'm going to do today. One duty says, do me. And, oh, I wonder what I should do. I do say, do me. Now, you know me. No, me. No, me. Oh, I need to do this. I need to do this. And that's when you get frustrated. So you just say to this duty over here, now you just sit still, son. I've set a time for you. Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'm going to take care of you, but right now it's this duty over here. And so you set an allocated time. You call that a schedule. Now, the second thing I want to say about this war that's going on the inside, and I've already said it, but I want to say, number two, is allow nothing to war with it. Allow nothing to war with it. I mean, when you set what you're supposed to do at a certain time for a certain duty, listen to me now, allow nothing to war with it. Say to every other duty, you leave me alone, this is what I'm going to do. That's what saves my neck. I was in my office the other day counseling with a couple or a lady or a man, one or the other. And I think it's a lady or a man. There's a war going on down inside of me. But I was counseling. And this person said to me, Brother Hiles, the only thing on your mind right now is my problem, isn't it? And I said, that's exactly right. And this person said, that's amazing. With all the things that you've got on your mind, but that's not true. I don't have all those things on my mind. Because I've already allocated those things when I'm going to put those things on my mind. And I decide when these things come on my mind. And I was totally wrapped up in that person. And that's where I get so much done. Preacher took me to the airport this morning. He said, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. All these things you got to do. Tell you exactly how I do it. I say, this is for this duty, and this time 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 is for this duty. And every duty knows that it will have its time, and it can't take any other duty's time. Boy, that I wish I could hit you over the head with this microphone right now. I'd like to come out, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, slay you in the spirit. I'd like to whack you over the head. You don't believe what I'm saying. And that's why you're so all-fired nervous. You don't practice this at all. I'm giving you a secret to life. Hey, I could save your doctor bills. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked how much you could save in doctor bills if you'd just listen to some few things that are taught behind this pulpit up here. I allocate. And that's one way that you keep this duties versus duties from fighting. Number one, allocate each duty its own time. Number two, allow nothing to war with it. Number three, know what you're going to do when you get up in the morning. Ladies, may I have your attention, please? You get up, and you go to the breakfast table, or you go to the mirror, and you say, I wonder what I'm going to do today. There's a war going on. And the truth is, the honest truth is, you ever slide down with these things? I'm afraid I'll end up over there instead of over here. But that's why you're so nervous. Your husband comes home and you say, I didn't get a thing done today. You would have if you had decided what you were going to do before you ever got up. In fact, decide not to get up. That'd be a good idea. You sit there at the table and you say, I have got so many things I could do today. I wonder what I'll do. And brother, the combatants come to the battlefield. How about me? How about me? I need to be done too. And the truth is, what you end up doing is none of them, because you become a nervous wreck. Every lady I know is either having a nervous breakdown, just had one, is going to have one as soon as she can work it into her schedule. Now, folks, listen to me. You will, that the war that's going on the inside, if you, when you get up in the morning, you before you go to bed at night, you ought to know what you're going to do tomorrow. That'll keep you from having to lay awake all night and say, what should I do? What should I do? You let your schedule determine what you do. And before you get out of bed in the morning, you know what you're going to do that day. All right. This war between duties versus duties. Allocate each duty its own time. Allow nothing to war with it. Three, know what you're going to do when you get up in the morning. Four, plan each day. And plan each week. When I get up on Monday morning, I know what I'm going to do all week long. I mean, I know. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, how can you know what's going to come up? I bring it up. You'd be amazed how much peace you'd have inside if you had planned your week. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, you never have been a mother. You are very, very discerning. But there ain't no mother here got as many things going as I do. And he said, Brother Hiles, oh, you must have a million things on your mind. I've got one thing on my mind. And I can say that 99% of the time, and the other 1% of the time, I'm frustrated and irritable. Oh, shut up back there. I don't mind you saying hallelujah, but don't say it like that. And you sound like a charismatic revival. Go to Oral Roberts Church. I want you to say amen and hallelujah, but not at the wrong time. Shut up. Paul said, this one thing I do. Oh, hush. Who's doing that back there? Atta boy, that's good. Atta boy, thank you very much. That's good. Okay, bye-bye, I love you too. Okay, now I can get back. That war is over now. I wonder if he's going to come down here and whip me. I got to get my people to learn this stuff.
Wonder if he's got a gun.
This one thing I do. Say it. Look at me. Say it. This one. And you're not. I'm not scared of it, and you're scared to death. These duties that conflict. Allocate each duty its own time. Allow nothing to war with it. Know what you're going to do when you get up in the morning. Plan each day and plan each week. And then let your principles make your decisions for you. The fewer decisions you have to make, the less frustrations you're going to have. Now, folks, look. This urban society of ours is busy. And, you know, there's so many things to do. Now, decide what you're going to do now and do it. And just do that. And you don't have to worry, when will I get the other done? I know when I'll get the other done. For example, many a preacher on Saturday night at midnight has got his Bible open with the sword of the Lord in one hand, listening to one of my tapes, trying to figure out what he's going to say in 11 hours. I don't do that. Not at all. I have certain times a week where I prepare sermons. And I don't prepare sermons for the next Sunday. I prepare sermons. I've had this Bible study in my briefcase probably for 3 months. Now, I worked on it some this morning on the airplane. But I have certain times when I prepare sermons. I don't ever say, oh, when am I going to find time to prepare a sermon? I know when I'm going to find time to prepare sermons. And if I know when I'm going to find time and there's no pressure involved, they just come to me with the droves. Sermons are like happiness. They're stumbled upon when you're not looking for them. If you're looking for them, where's one? You guys have been there. Especially if you pastored. It's 12 o'clock midnight, Saturday night. Oh my. Hundreds of chapters and thousands of verses. Here's one. I will scatter the Egyptians. That's it. I. First point. I. Not you, not they, not them. I will, not did, not shall, I will. Scatter, not gather, scatter. The Egyptians, not the Cubans, the Egyptians. Now, I don't live that way. I scatter the Russians. But I don't live that way. Listen, let me reason with you a minute. I have to get every week a sermon for Sunday morning, a sermon for Sunday night, Bible study for Wednesday night. Most weeks, a sermon for the chapel of the college. I travel 200,000 miles a year. I'm chancellor of the largest independent Baptist fundamental college in the world. I'm pastor of the largest church in America. I counsel 147 people a week come to my office door to ask my advice or my counsel. I write at least one book a year and usually 2 or 3 books a year. I pray 20 hours a week. I go soul winning 10 hours a week. You say, oh, Brother Hiles, with all that on your mind, I just said all that is not on my mind. Just one thing at a time is on my mind. I'm talking to folks tonight, all of this room. Constant warfare. Duty versus what will I do today? When will I get this done? How can I find time to do this? Second war. Second war is the war of pro versus con in making a decision. Now I want you to follow me because I'm just almost going to read this tonight. I want you to follow me as I give you 14 steps in making the right decision. I'm just going to give it to you just quickly. Number one, look clearly at what the decision is. Look at the decision and look clear. What are the alternatives? You going to make a decision? No. What the alternatives are. Number two, find out or set a deadline for making the decision. Decide when you're going to make it. Allocate time for the making of the decision. Now, it may be I won't make the decision till next week, but I'll say next week, Monday morning between 9 and 10 o'clock, I will make this decision. So I never have to say, When will I make this decision? When am I going to find time to make this decision? I know when I'm going to make the decision. Number three, lose your own will. You'll never make a decision properly if you have a desire in the matter. That's why it's usually best for preachers not to go back to their home neighborhoods and start churches. Because usually it's their wife's will or their will. I'm not saying it's never the will of God. I'm saying it usually is not. Lose your own will. Number four, ask God to control your thinking. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. That's the prayer I pray as much as any prayer I pray except for power, wisdom, and love. Number five, live in the Bible. Now let me stop and say this. Don't look for words in the Bible that, for example, a guy was down in Mississippi and he picked up a Bible and it says, point to a verse, and it said, the King of the North. And the guy came all the way to New York City to pastor church because he happened to bump into those words in the Bible, the King of the North. Is Honolulu in the Bible? Now that's dumb. No, you don't live in the Bible for the Bible to give you some little line that makes you want to tell you what to do. You live in the Bible because people who live in the Bible got more sense to make decisions than folks that don't live in the Bible. So live in the Bible. Number one, look clearly at what the decision is. Number two, find or set a deadline for making the decision. Decide when. Number three, lose your own will. Number four, ask God to control your thinking. And number five, live in the Bible. And then number six, look in the Bible for commands and examples. Number seven. That was number seven. Number eight, write down the pros and cons. Write down. Here is the advantage of this, and here is this. Here are the advantages. Here are the disadvantages. And here are the advantages of going this route, and here are the disadvantages. Write down the pros and cons. Number nine, consider your own emotional state. Now, please listen carefully to this. Do not make a decision when you are depressed. Look at me. Look at me. Do not make a decision. Quit writing back there and look at me. Do not make a decision when you're depressed. Then, not only that, do not make a decision when you are ecstatic. Do not make a decision when you're afraid. Consider your own emotional state. Now, if you are afraid or ecstatic or depressed, don't. But most of your decisions are made when you are in an emotional stress. Look, if you're going to commit suicide, don't do it while you're depressed. I took a poll one time. 99% of all suicides are committed while folks are in no state of mind to make up their mind. Now, the truth is, though it's not suicide, I know some young people in this room right now who are going to make some decisions that'll be suicide for your career, suicide for your life, suicide for your marriage, suicide for your dreams, suicide for the will of God in your life at a time. Well, I'm so depressed, I think I'll go home. If you're depressed, by all means, don't go home. Number 10, give someone veto power. Give somebody veto power. Somebody ought to have the power not to tell you what to do, but to tell you that you shouldn't do this. You ought to have somebody in this world who can veto what you're going to do. Not tell you what to do, but you say, how about this? That's not what you ought to do. I have never in my life made an important decision without giving veto power to somebody. Never. Number 11, seek counsel. If the advice of friends, family, and pastor fall into some kind of a steady pattern, it might be a good idea you ought to take the advice. Number 12, decide. Decide. Don't let it hang. I am going to decide when I get right there. I'm going to make this decision when I get right there. Now, I'm going all on the way there. I'm doing all these things. Turn my treble up, would you please, up there? On my way, I'm going to do all of these things I just mentioned. But right there, I'm going to decide. All right? I am at this moment going to decide what I'm going to do. Folks, you got to decide sometime. I have to make probably 400 or 500 decisions a week. Sometimes on a Saturday morning, I'll make 150, 200 decisions just on a Saturday morning alone. Now, the next thing I'll say is this. After you've decided, don't let the war continue. armistice has been signed. War's over. I have thoroughly and carefully examined. I've done all of these things I just mentioned. I'm not going to know any more tomorrow than I know today, so I'm going to make up my mind. And the next point is, then don't undo in doubt what you did in faith. 35 years ago today, I was in the battle of my life. 35 years ago today, I was fighting over whether to come to Hammond, Indiana or not. 35 years ago today, I did every single thing I just told you a while ago to do. I decided I was going to make my decision on a certain day. And I said, this is the day I'm going to make my decision. I wrestled with that thing, and I didn't. I did it scientifically. I didn't say, oh, I'm so worried. I don't want to make a mistake. Well, okay, then use your head not to make a mistake. But I want to say this to you. If you're spiritual and you walk in the Spirit and live in that book, I'd 10,000 times rather trust my decision than some kind of a spooky revelation from God. I decided to come to Hammond. Thank you for the amen. It's obvious that you're overwhelmed with that. I decided to come to Hammond. It's too late. It's too late, folks. I'm already hurt. There's a war going on the inside right now. Now, as soon as I decided to come to Hammond, I thought I'd made a mistake. I told that gal out there, I said, I made a mistake. But I still came to Hammond. When we left Garland, Texas to come to Hammond, I thought we were making a mistake. But I had spent 7 months doing exactly what I'm talking about right here. And after 7 months, with no will of my own, living in the Bible, trying to walk with God, seeking counsel, giving veto power, doing all the things, I made up my mind. Now, I'm not going to let homesickness or home or family or emotion cause me to change my mind in a second when I took 7 months making it up. Number 14, keep track of the results. You may face the same decision again and we'll have to go through all the trouble. Keep records of your decisions and what you did. And you may want to counsel with somebody sometime and you can tell them the results of what you went through. All right? Our frustrations, our irritability caused by wars going on, duties versus duties, and pros versus cons concerned decisions. Now, number 3, the war between the past and the present. Did I do right? I just want to say, where I go. Did I do right? I decided to go to Hammond. Did I do the right thing? Did I make a mistake? Did I make the right decision? Okay. To keep that war from going on, when you have gone through these 14 things and made your decision, never go back. Never go back. The next war, the present versus the future. When you have made your decision to do something like this, never stop till you finish. Never stop till you finish. Let me illustrate. I'm a freshman in Hiles Anderson College. Shall I come back next year? And all summer long, some of you little young folks are gonna have a war going all summer long. And some of you won't decide till the 1st of September. Now what you ought to do is just take that war out. You say, well, okay, what should I do? Finish what you started. I mean, finish it. Should I go back? Should I go back? I think I should stay. No, I think I should go back. And the war's going on the inside, and that's why you're irritable, and that's why you're cantankerous, and that's why a lot of you kids are sick more than I am. I'm amazed. How an old 67-year-old man can go do more, go faster, go harder than some of you 17, 18, 19-year-old whippersnappers. You know one reason? Because I've got peace. And no war's going on. Sometimes one will slip up, but I'll nip it in the bud. I have no wars going on. I have no duties fighting duties. I have no pros fighting cons. I have no past fighting present. I have no present
fighting future.
I'm amazed. I am absolutely amazed how puny some of you guys are. 6 foot two, 180 pounds, bicep 17 inches. I go describing myself again. I wasn't talking about you, Bob. I didn't say chest 17 inches, I had bicep. But, I mean, 18, 19, 20 years old. You can't keep up with an old codger, you're 67. And one reason, listen, you ask the average doctor, and the doctor will tell you that 90% of all illness is caused by the mind. What's the word? Psychosomatic. Yeah. If you say, Brother, how's that? I'll never get sick. It'll solve 90% of your illness. What should I do? Oh, I don't know what to. Well, decide! Stop the war. The old little war is going on all the time. This duty, do me. Do me. Do me. Do me. You sit still. I'm going to do you Friday morning at 10:30. I don't care how much you nag at me, you ain't going to get done till Friday morning at 10:30. Now, I'm going to do you right now. And do you know what? You can stop a lot of your trips to the doctor right there. The doctor, you know what the doctor does? You go to him, no, because you got wars on the inside. What he says? It's a virus. Everything's a virus. Even computers get sick. Get a virus. You know what a virus is? A virus is a medical term a doctor used when he hadn't got the foggiest idea what's wrong with you. You say, do you ever get sick? Yes, I get sick, but I don't get sick as much as you do. Should I stay or not? Should I come back or not? What should I do about this and this and this? Oh, and the war's going on the inside. In God's name, stop your war. Get tranquility of order in your mind, in your life. I know people have one thing to do. I know people have a Sunday school class that drives them crazy. That's all you got. Well, you sit in the house. You have a Sunday school class. When do you study your lesson? I have a set time. 9:25 on Sunday morning. But I never... Well, let me paraphrase it. 99% of the time, I do not wonder what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. And when I do it, I don't think about anything else in this world. And that's why the person could say, you're not thinking about a thing but my problem, are you? And that's right. Because, and that's why that I can walk out that door in the biggest battle of my life and cut up. Tranquility of order. That's what you call peace. Now you can do what you usually do and say, well, glad we got out of here before 9 o'clock, if we do. And glad we got out before 9 o'clock, and that wasn't a bad study. Yeah, big deal. Or you can get enough sense to put in practice what you've heard tonight. It'll change your life. I know what I'm talking about. I'm amazed. Make that 9:05. I'm amazed. Bob, I go to churches, and the pastor says, can you help me find an assistant? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm worked to death. How many members you got? 60. I could pastor 60 members and run the country on the side. He needs an assistant. He needs somebody else that's frustrated so they can share their frustration. That's what you say. I just need somebody to tell my problems to. No, you don't. You just need enough sense to allocate your life so you have know what you're going to do, know when you're going to do it, schedule yourself. Well, I just need to unload on somebody. That's the silliest thing. Where do I unload? I'll quit. Shall we stand?